You're listening to U Talk, part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Providing unbiased opinions on all things Utah football and basketball.
Welcome to this edition of the U Talk podcast. As always, I'm Grant Bagby.
And I'm Joseph Silverswag. It's nice to be chatting with you all on a Friday afternoon. Here we've got football in the air, fall in the air a little bit.
There's some fall in the air.
There was a storm. Was that yesterday or 2 days ago?
Two days ago.
That was just magnificent. It's nice. I'm from New York originally. Yes, I'm your New York Jewish lawyer. You guys will get used to me meeting every expectation you have. And I really miss the nor'easters, these big window-rattling storms that come in off the Atlantic, and there's no mountains to break them up, so they just hit your house like a ton of bricks. And you don't get that a lot around here, so it was nice to get one.
So, co-host quiz time question for you. Do you recall where I'm from?
Virginia?
That's right. Yes. So, yeah, these rainstorms, I know exactly what you're talking about. There's no rain here.
Yeah.
There's and as green as some of this greenery is outside the window where we're at, it's like a gray green. Like, that's not real green. You need to go east to see real green.
Yeah, you drive in the hills and stuff around Virginia, and West Virginia in particular.
Whoa, not West Virginia. West Virginia. You don't go there. Look, beautiful. It's a dangerous place.
Okay, all right. Either way. He sounds like me when I'm talking about Jersey. So
there you go.
Just regional stuff, I guess.
Either way, so let's give the people what they have to look forward to, right? So we got the quick hitters. We're going to give you guys an update on a question that Joseph had. We've got some recruiting news, pretty big recruiting news. I mean, it's already out there, but it's fun to talk about. And then, of course, we're going to play a new game called Guess Their Projections. And since I'm not the stat guy, apparently I'm guessing projections.
Yes, so this should be fun. I've got a game all set up for poor Grant, who we're then going to mock if he gets it wrong.
I'm going to get a lot of mocking, I'm sure. But first, let's give out some love. So first of all, season starts next week. And if you need new gear, DalaiLama.com.
That's the way to go, everybody.
I'm looking at buying all the family some gear right now. So we're going to be going to Dal for that. Also, the U Daddy, the process, as some breaking news. Hopefully this isn't something I'm not supposed to share.
No, it's out there.
But
it's
he's going to be releasing the new Trust the Process 3.0.
Very exciting for those process trusters out there. Get your lawn just that much greener. I am still working on trusting the process.
Hey, there's a big time coming up. Step 5.
Yeah. Yep. I'm getting ready. And the lawn, my front lawn's looking pretty good. My back lawn's huge and had a big dead spot. And I thought this giant rainstorm was going to bring it back to life a little bit. But it's still pretty grim back there. So
it's only one rainstorm. You need more water.
It's a lot of water. More than one rainstorm. You should have seen my patio. There's a dip in it, and I had 3 inches of water in one spot.
Oh, wow. According to the weather meter near where I'm at, we only got a quarter of an inch, which to me seems like a good amount. But
yeah, I think that's pretty good. There's no way we had a quarter of an inch by my house. It had to be at least an inch or two. It was very dense.
In using the process, you know, rookie homeowners we are, rookie yard tenders as well, he finally told me how to – all right, he helped me learn how to use my fertilizer spreader.
Okay.
And
so the zebra lawn is no more?
It's not no more yet. Okay. It's well on its way to no more. And ultimately, I just need the grass to grow a little bit more. I broke a couple rules in the sense that I've been working like all-nighters and a ton the last couple weeks. It's really the reason why there wasn't an episode last week.
Yeah, it was.
And why there isn't one until Friday today. Yes.
Poor Grant, so, work to the bone.
Seriously. So ultimately, I got to mow my lawn last night, and it is looking beautiful outside of like a couple stripes that just haven't quite grown out.
Yeah, I would say the thing that I have the most trouble doing about the process is every 4 days mowing the lawn. That's hard for me to do.
I do go once a week.
Okay. Because I can do that. I do once a week. I get there out there on Saturday or Sunday, and I get a mow. It doesn't take too long, but on the weeknights, it's not easy.
Yeah. Well, so let's get into the quick hitters. First off, do you want to start with answering the question we got an answer to?
Or yeah, I have an answer. So I was asking about the half shirts and if they just really liked all their abdominises. And it turns out...
Because you did.
It turns out that they are accelerometers and heart monitors. So they're performance gear to measure how the guys are doing so that you can figure that out, I guess, which is cool. You know, when you're running up a hill, it's like, this person will, you know, be able to do this again, or we need to give them a break. So,
yeah.
That's well, nice.
All right. The more you know.
Yeah, that's right. Star.
Yeah, a little star space. Flying across the your.
So what's the schedule screen? Look like?
Right? So here's our schedule. So today at 4 p.m. in Logan, soccer is playing Utah State. And then, you know, we do have volleyball. St. Mary's is up at the U tonight.
Volleyball starts right around the same time as football does, so I was expecting it.
So, yeah, volleyball actually has two games today. They're playing St. Mary's at 4:30, and then they play UC Irvine at 7.
And is Adora Nye still on the squad? I think she was a freshman last year, a sophomore maybe.
No.
So she's Bradley and I's sister, and she's the striker, killer, something like that. She does the...
Star player.
The ending move. Well, you know how volleyball is like bump, set, spike, and she's the one who does the spike because she's very tall and jumps really high, and she... is really, really good, one of the best in the country, I think. Outside hitter, that's her position. No, she was a senior last year.
Yeah, so she's gone.
That's too bad. I was really enjoying last year watching kind of the competition between the two of them to be the more successful athlete in their respective sports. But I'll have to find other entertainment this year. But we should be shorted for entertainment as college football's here in... less than 1 week. I'm pleased to report I will be in the press box for Weber State, and I will be in the press box for Washington, and then I will have a child born sometimes in the next 2 weeks after that. So probably not again this year. That's probably it for me, but it's going to be fun for those two. One more quick hitter, sad news. Devere Hamilton announced last night via Twitter that he is transferring out of the school. His letter says he can go anywhere he wants. I'd keep an eye on UCLA. We'll see if that's a good fit for Kelly's defense and what he wants to do. His kind of first choice coming into school. He's from LA.
Down
there. Yeah. And he's been a UCLA fan his whole life. So I think UCLA, if they'll take him, would be a likely landing spot, and good for him. He was a tweener. He was too big to be a linebacker, never got big enough to be defensive end, didn't really apparently quite pick up on some of the schematic aspects of the game that he needed to. But what's really cool for him is he's graduating in the spring.
Yeah.
He's going to graduate really fast. So he'll be able to transfer as a graduate transfer, play immediately in the 2019 season, excuse me, and still have 2 years of eligibility left. So he's making this move at the right time for him, I think. And, you know, best of luck. He was probably fifth or sixth down the depth chart, and he wants to play football, and he wants to start, and he's good enough to start it. 90% of schools, so good luck to him.
I mean, I'm kind of curious. I mean, I'll probably never know, but I'd be intrigued to know if he's been, you know, kind of saw the writing on the walls, and that's why he's graduating so fast. But look, it works out great for him, and
I mean,
all the power
to him. He took a real crack at it this year, and I think he'd probably be in the rotation. And honestly, there were a few players who got nailed by Mika Tafua transferring on his coming back from his mission. So Mika's a freshman, but he came back from his mission, had been committed to BYU, is now projected to start or be the third defensive end in the rotation, and he bumped everybody back when he moved over to the U. So I think that there's probably some fallout from that. I think you're also going to see less of Rex Jordan as a result of that. Although Rex is wouldn't have been quite in the same place as Devere. I think Devere's ahead of Rex anyway. But anyway, it's good. I think transferring is good, and transferring of talented players says really good things about your football program and the depth in there. And the better school they transfer to, the better things it says about the talent and depth in your football program. So I wish him only the best. And if he goes to a Pac-12 school, you know, I'll root for him 11 weeks out of the 12.
Well, I mean, that's for the most part any Pac-12 school.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in the best interest
pack,
for the Utes.
Hashtag.
Yep.
They really need it. They need the good Pac-12.
So there's the news that Devere's leaving, but we also got some recruiting news that's pretty good in the sense of
really
a wide
good
receiver.
News, actually. Yeah, so 2 weeks ago, I want to start with a less exciting, although by the end of this season, we'll see, it might be more exciting, is Micah Bernard. He's a running back. He's 6 foot, about 200 pounds, a little bigger than your typical Utes running back prospect, which I like. I feel like Utah's running backs have been limited a little bit by not having that big size anywhere in the backfield. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he could do there. Maybe a soft commit. I mean, a commit's a commit. You'd rather a player commit than not commit. But it's still early in the process. He's widely expected to blow up this year, maybe even hit four-star status. He's a high mid-three right now. And he's got a good offer sheet, but not everybody who's interested in him is offered yet. And who knows what happens if, you know, Bama or Tennessee or USC or, you know, start pushing really hard for him. So he's one to watch. He's a very talented player. And I think certainly with him committed, the Utes have an inside track. But something Ute fans are going to need to get used to is we're going to be saying this about a lot of commits going forward, because Utah's recruiting a different caliber of player. When you're recruiting high two, low three-star guys, and you get them, everybody's done, they move on to the next thing. But the blue-chip schools have so many resources and so much cachet that they're able to keep pushing on committed kids right up until signing day. And so a player like Micah Bernard is going to get recruited heavily by really good teams for a long time, and that's just that. Then the other one, more exciting, I think, is the third four-star wide receiver in the last 3 years, which is cool. The exceptionally tall Darren Jones. Exceptionally tall. Really unique.
He is listed in Rivals. Exceptionally tall.
He's listed on Rivals at 6'9". But he's not. He's 6'7". But still, 6'7", 185 is a very unusual build for a football player. He is a three-star basketball prospect as well. He's got Pac-12 sort of rotation potential at, power forward, I think, is what he's playing now. But higher ceiling, everybody agrees, at football, and that's probably where he's going to stick. I wouldn't expect him to see him on the court or anything like that, and he's not going to be a two-way player. But he's a very, very exciting four-star prospect. Offer sheet is short but really impressive. I think he's got 7 offers. I know Georgia was going after him really hard. I want to say USC and Oregon, all blue-chip recruiting schools really pushing hard for him, really unique talent. I went to look for a player like him, and I couldn't find one in the last 5 years. You've got tight ends who are 6'6+ and big, couple hundred pounds. And then you've got wide receivers who never really get up past about 6'4", 6'5". So 6'7", and really slender is an unusual build. But he moves really well for his size. Obviously, he's a nightmare in the red zone. There's this one great piece of film in his huddle where he goes up, and the cornerback tries to stop him, and he just reaches up and picks the ball.
Oh, the high point.
Yeah,
it's
ridiculous.
Crazy.
And the the cornerback looks over at the sideline and shrugs. He's like, what do you want me to do? He's three times my size.
Well,
I can't
stop him. Well, we expected you to bring a ladder, put it up,
that's what it would climb take. Up, that's what it would take to stop him on a fade.
Yeah.
So he's a great, exciting player. The top end speed is really good. He's actually got – he's good at screen passes. He's got good movement on like a comeback routes and stuff like that. He's got good feet. But
you mean to tell me he's a four-star commit?
Yeah, yeah. He's not just big and tall and fast. He's got a lot of other skills. And so that's a really exciting one. The most exciting thing about him is we've talked about the quarterback recruiting situation. Now, there's really only two uncommitted quarterbacks, and one of them goes to the same high school as Darren Jones and throws mm-hmm. him passes all day, every day. And the Utes are also recruiting a less heralded but still pretty darn good player out of Ketchum, which is the running back. So we might have another trio this year. And I think with Darren Jones committing, it's looking pretty likely. I give it 70-75% odds that the Utes are going to wind up with all three of those players. And that quarterback is number three dual threat quarterback in the country. That's a Jack Tuttle level get if he commits.
Cool.
So yeah, all right. Good news. Good news all around for the recruiting. And
no, good news altogether. I mean, yes. We're less than a week away. There's good recruiting.
Oh my gosh!
News.
Oh my gosh!
I mean,
it's so just exciting. Life
it's exciting
is good
times,
right now, isn't it?
So now apparently Joseph has this desire.
The game,
to
my game.
Me.
Guess my projection. So if you read my Rivals stuff, you had a chance to read a series of four articles where I predicted specific performances for a number of players. And it gets a little bit too granular and not predictable at a certain point. But the way that I build my projections is I kind of decide, or the math decides, how many points they're going to score, how many yards they're going to go for. And then I can apportion those out based on historical trends to different players and kind of guess what their stat line is going to be at the end of a 13-game bowl game season. Although hopefully 13 games is after the Pac-12 championship game. That's the plan right now. We're hoping for 14, maybe a 15-game season.
Yeah, I was waiting for your playoff
prediction. I think we should predict seasons today, too, because that'll be fun. But we'll get there. So okay. I have these up, and I'm going to give you a hint.
So hold
I'm
on
not
a second.
Make this too hard
are
for
you. Are you telling me all your Rivals readers already know the answers to these?
Oh yeah. So
that's
so
awesome.
You're going to be
okay.
They'll know already if you're wrong, and they probably have all my articles printed.
I can
out
sense Alex is setting up an email to me right now. Like, what the heck are you doing? You haven't been reading enough.
So I am going to make it easy. I am going to give you three numbers when I ask the question. The first number is going to be a top five performance nationally, or like really, really good, where they would get national credit for their performance. The second one is a strong Pac-12 starter kind of performance where people are going to know your name and be pleased with your season. And then the last number is kind of average. Not bad, but average.
Okay.
All right. So the first question is, how many sacks do you think Bradley and I will get? And the three numbers I'll give you is 14 sacks would be a really, really good. 8 would be a solid Pac-12 DN season. And 5 would be average for a P5 defensive end. And don't click on it. If he clicks on it, it spoils it.
No, I know. I'm just looking and debating. I'm going to go with, let's go 8.
Okay. Well, you don't have to pick one of those numbers. You can pick anywhere, and that's just to give you a ballpark.
Okay. Yeah. All right, then I'm going to go with 6.5 sacks.
6.5? You don't think Anai is going to get that many sacks?
I don't. I don't trust this defense to get sacks anymore, so I just don't think that's happening.
All right, well, I have Bradley and I projected for 11 sacks. So this just in, Grant thinks Bradley and I sucks, and they're going to fight
over it
at the flagpole.
You said he's going to be a P5 starter.
Well, he's going to be. I think that 11 would probably be top 20 defensive end of the country.
Okay.
So it's pretty good.
No, that's pretty good. I just don't think Sac Lake City exists anymore.
I you know, there is as much as I love this shirt. Yeah, it's really cool.
I love that shirt. Uh-huh. I did get it from Dollar, and I wear it all the time. But I just don't think it's a true statement anymore.
Okay. All right. Next star defensive player, Julian Blackmon. How many passes defense? Now, that's not interceptions or breakups. That's both of them added together.
Combined?
Because predicting interceptions right is kind of a fool's 20. Errand. You think 20?
Yeah.
All right. When the numbers here are between 6 and 25, I have him at 12. He's not actually that great at defensive passes.
Well, I disagree with you.
Yeah. All right. That's what this is. That's what this is fun. That's the whole point.
I can't remember all the watch awards, but Blackman's a freaking beast in that's my true. Opinion. The dude's going to be amazing this year. And just to in my opinion, when you've got on the other side a fully healthy, why is the name
Jaylon?
Jaylon Johnson. Yeah. And he's on the other side. And at the nickel, you've got Javelin Guidry.
There you go.
And
he's having trouble today, folks.
Seriously. I can think numbers. Name pronunciation, not going to work. But either way, that's why I think Blackman's going
to
come up
you know,
what
I think
you're
there's
seeing.
Something to be said for that. So these projections were based off last year's performance for him. And last year, he was the best cornerback on the field most of the year by a mile because Jaylon was playing injured and people didn't really realize what they were dealing with in Guidry, and so he was just an island you never visited.
Yep.
But the Utes defense this year promises to force quarterbacks to throw to somebody great because they're everywhere, and so there may be something to do to that, and we'll see
how that goes. That's the whole in statistical predictions is that, you know,
yes, absolutely.
There's impacts that happened last year that are being accounted for but may no longer be an impact. Mm-hmm. So, but I get
yes.
it. All right.
Statistics are a fun and useful but imperfect way
that's
of
why there's
evaluating.
A margin of error.
Yep.
But all right, next one.
Next one is Chase Hansen. How many tackles do you think you will get? A good strong safety gets about 80 average strong safety, a really good one, 110, and a great.
But he's playing linebacker.
Linebacker. Excuse me. Gets 135. These are linebacker projections. I apologize.
130.
I thought you were going to get it. It's 114. That's pretty close, though. I'd say we were about in the same range. We expect him to be all over the field.
Do you remember Gianni Paul, I felt like, was involved in almost every tackle when he was on the field his last year?
Uh-huh.
I think that's going to be Chase Hansen.
Yeah,
this year.
I think it's going to be everywhere. My one thing with Chase Hansen and tackles is I think Barton's going to have a breakout year two, and I think he's going to eat into those tackle totals. But yeah, I think 130 is a reasonable expectation. All right, here's a question. Zach Moss, we're back on offense now. How many touchdowns between an excellent year would
rushing,
be 25?
Passing or combined?
Average year would be 10, 5. Let me click here and see. So either way, I've got them both.
Oh, it's total?
Yeah.
I'll go with 8.
8. That's lower than either of my numbers.
That's
so
fine.
I've got him at 11 or 12. He's not a huge receiver. They keep saying, oh, he's going to receive a lot. He's a great receiving running back. We're going to use him a ton. It hasn't happened yet. I'm waiting to see. It's like tight ends. I'm not predicting anything great for tight ends because it hasn't happened yet. I mean, when it does, then I'll start projecting it.
Right. You need the history. You need the sample size. But my feeling with Zach Moss is there's just so many variables in that, right? You've
there's
got
a huge
great
question.
Amount of
in
wide
fact,
receivers.
There's such a large variable that I actually did two projections for Zach Moss. One is if Tyler Huntley runs the ball 17 times a game like he did last year, and one's if he runs at 10 like we'd like. And if he runs at 10, I think Zach Moss gets 16. And I think that projection might be low. If the Utes actually get 25 carries a game for Moss, I think he's going to probably start pushing 20 for his.
Because
the numbers start to break down. The carries get higher and the chances get higher and the usage changes.
Right.
So I think he gets closer to 20. And at that point, I think he's a dope walker.
So am I blacking out, or has everyone forgot that Ahmad shines on this team?
No, I haven't forgotten. I just don't think he's going to get any carries.
No carries?
Not none. But I think he's going to get spell carries, backup carries, and that's
so short yardage, goal line situation. You've got the pass to the tight end, my favorite play action pass ever. You could line up two backs with either Zach Moss and whomever else you want to put in the backfield, and then you're going to have Mariner, Simpkins, Covey, and however many other wide receivers they'd like to throw out there. Yeah, I think the reason his touchdown count is low is just because I expect Huntley's going to be spreading the wealth. Yeah. Everyone's going to be making it rain.
Hang on one sec. So I have Huntley with 23 passing touchdowns and a total of 21 or 22 rushing touchdowns. So Huntley gets a lot of the points.
Ball's here. Always in his hands.
Yeah. And if he has the option to run and he can see the end zone, I think there's a very different calculus that goes in with, you know, your third and four. How hard do you want to push that keeper as a quarterback, and your third and four from goal? You changes your approach, true. I think, a little bit. So he may keep more of those. But no, I just...
Have you been recording my guesses here? My predictions?
I haven't been writing them down. I mean, they're recorded because we're recording. We can go back and listen to them.
Yeah, record to keep so I can brag.
Well, I'll make sure that's down there. And one of us will be right, or both of us will be wrong.
I'll be right. Let's just accept it.
Yes, Grant Savant.
Okay.
All right, next question. Britton Covey, how many receptions?
The reason I'll be right is because I'm like the girlfriend who picks the NCAA bracket and doesn't know what she's doing. Uh-huh. And so you're like, oh, Cougars, they should beat up Hawks. Yeah. Yes,
that works. Does work better than
so us. That's why I'm going to be right. But all right, Britton Covey, how many receptions?
I've got 100 as a really good year. 55 is a strong year, and 25 is an average wide receiver. If you're a starter but you don't do anything distinguished, you get about
70.
70. I think you're really close. Where am I? 73. Nicely done, Grant. That was good. That's our first time we're like spot on there. Yeah, I've got 73.
You say it as if I'm trying to get the right answer.
Yeah, you are, because I'm right, telling you, and you're trying to get it right.
This is the right answer.
Oh, all right. All right. Well, there's a lot of confidence coming here. All right. Here's another fun one. COC Mariner. So this is not your first string or even really your number two wide receiver, but he's a special guy. How many yards per catch?
10 or lower.
For COC Mariner?
Yep.
Do you want to look and see how many he got last year before you jump on that train?
Nope.
19.5. That was last year. And he's bigger, stronger, faster.
Here's my prediction.
Yeah. I have him, I think, as a little over 20. Yeah, 20.5. I think he's going to get not a ton of receptions, maybe 30 to 40 receptions, but he's really the best bet to take the top off of defense because the other guys just aren't tall enough. Yeah.
See, I feel like his height, like he's going to get the attention in those trying to stretch the field stuff.
That's why
so
he doesn't
much,
get many catches.
That he's not going to get a ton targets. Of catches, sure. I think his targets are going to be the fade or high pointing it in the end zone, and that's not going to equal a ton of yards either.
All right. I appreciate that. I appreciate your insight. All right. What is the passer
rating? Grant, you're an idiot is what I heard.
No. Okay. I like your takes. That's why we're here together, because we don't always agree, but we agree in just the right fun way. What is Tyler Huntley's passer rating? A great passer rating would be 175. A strong Pac-12 quarterback would be 150. And a average player would be 130.
I'll go 163.
163. Okay. Well, so the projection I put down is 150.3. But I have a little bit of a dirty secret when it comes to Tyler Huntley and my projections. And nobody knows this yet. This is breaking news. I did my normal projections, and I do these every year internally. This is the first year I think I broke it down to here's what these players might get. But I did my projections, and I looked at the quarterback and passing numbers, and I said, I can't put numbers that high in print. That's actually what I said. So I just trimmed it down about 5-10% because they were too high. So his actual mathematical projections were – these numbers are just so good. 67.5% completion, 4,000 yards, 24 touchdowns, 10 picks, which is top 10 quarterback. And a couple of those picks go for touchdowns, and it's seriously Heisman territory. Like, he's right there with with those high-end projections, which is really exciting when you have a running back where you say – they meet their high-end projections, Doak Walker Award and a quarterback Heisman Award. If both of those guys meet their – I just get too
national
excited.
National title, Joseph, showing up
but
again.
That's where we are. I mean, it's at the outer end of the projections because it would take 5 or 6 coin flips, right? The coin flip of will Tyler Huntley be good or great? The coin flip of Zach Moss good or great? The coin flip of how many of those pass breakups in the – defensive backfield are going to be interceptions. Those things are random, right? I mean, we don't know. Or they're not random. If you ask Tyler Huntley, he'll tell you, well, I know exactly what I have to do to win a Heisman. I have to do this and then this and this and this from study and work and all that stuff. But from my perspective, predicting, I don't know. And there's no way to know until it happens. But if 4 or 5 coin flips land drum and feather, yeah. 11 wins, 12 wins, 13 wins.
Oh, wow.
14
now
wins.
He's going further.
Kidding. I'm not kidding. That's where we are.
National title, Joseph in the house.
It would be a surprise.
Okay, Mr.
But
Excited.
It's not possible.
So,
Now that I've puffed my head
yes,
up too big.
Let's do some season predictions. Right. Here's how I want to do this.
20-0.
I'm going to go
game by game.
And you just say win
so
loss.
I want to complain about it before you do it.
You do score. You can do score predictions the week of, but we're just going to do win loss.
Well, I'll tell you what my score prediction for next week is, just as a fun tidbit. But
no, use that next week's episode.
All right, okay,
come on.
Grant is teasing. All right, I'm teasing my score prediction.
Okay.
You have to wait. Tune in next week to find out my score prediction.
Okay.
But I don't like this game. Because I don't think this way, right? I don't think
win-loss?
The Utes will beat this team and lose to this team. I think the Utes have a 99% chance of beating this team and a 70%
chance
of this
one
and a 40% chance
if
of this
their
one.
Chance of winning is
it doesn't
above
work
50,
that way. They think it does.
Then you can
you guys
pick
all
that
think it
way.
Does and you're wrong.
Otherwise, pick it a different way. Either way, you need to pick
but
a
I
win
will.
And loss.
I am going to
okay.
do your game.
Here we go.
All right.
All right. I get to guide this one. So, Weber State.
Oh, boy. It's not. It's a win.
Win. Okay. We both have wins. Northern Illinois.
It better be a win.
Win.
They've got one great player, and that's it.
Washington.
That's at home? I still am going to go with an L.
I'm going with the win.
I think that's very defensible.
And, well, of course it's defensible.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think
it's
like
a coin flip.
40.
But... honestly, they can't have this much bad luck against Washington. Like the reverse has had.
Did you guys watch those games?
Has to reverse eventually. Like
blocks
high
back.
Tide is due back.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
It is time, and it should happen on the homecoming game, right? Oh, no, that's not homecoming because they haven't gotten a road trip yet.
Washington State.
That's a W. They're going to be so bad this
Agreed.
Year.
Agreed. W. Stanford.
Loss.
Win.
Okay.
I can't believe I'm being the more optimistic one.
Well,
I have no respect for Stanford.
Go. Let's see where we go.
I think everyone likes them way too much.
I continue to dim on them year after year, but Bryce Love is really, really a special player.
One player ain't going to do it when we've got the Hollandale trio.
Sometimes he does. He's really good. Like, he's really special.
It's not happening. Utah right. wins. Arizona.
That's a win.
Win. USC.
That's a win. That's a win.
What's I'm getting in my head now, it's like I have picked a lot of wins here.
Yeah, I don't know how you're going to get less optimistic than me by the time we get to the end because I know what's on the schedule. There's only like one more loss if you say this is a W.
I think
if you're going to pick them 12-0, pick them 12-0.
I'm not going to pick them 12-0.
He gave up. He couldn't stick with it.
I think they're going to lose the USC.
Okay. All right.
UCLA.
That's a win.
Win, agreed.
I think there's so much excitement amongst the UCLA faithful, and they're going to be hopefully they're going to kind of come back gently to earth over the first few weeks. And I think that they may be really good for a while. I do think Kelly's a good coach, but there's just no talent. There is no talent on that team, particularly on defense. They're not going to be able to tackle anybody. It's going to be a disaster again. And it's okay. Not like Chip Kelly is the master of teaching his teams how to tackle and hold you to 0 points. You know what I mean?
That's definitely not been his thing.
It's not his skill set. So I wouldn't expect a sea change there, UCLA fans. The UCLA fans that listen to our podcast.
Hey, if you're a UCLA fan listening, thank you.
Yeah.
It's okay to go by red. We understand. Arizona State.
Better be a win.
Win.
Yeah. It's going to be a garbage dumpster fire team. I have that one as a loss.
I agree.
I just feel it. I don't know. It's on. Is that one on the road?
That is on the road. No. That's here.
But still, I don't know. I just think that's the letdown, late season letdown game.
I'm totally going to be changing my predictions throughout the season, FYI.
That's fine. I don't think these are binding in the same way that your stat predictions in the last segment were. You're not allowed to change those.
Okay. Colorado.
Better win.
Win. I don't even know how to prep this last team.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't even understand why it's on the schedule.
I will just say that my model, the last game of the season, gives the Utes, and I'm not kidding, I'm not exaggerating, a 99.8% chance to win this game. I'm not joking. That's actually what it says. And I mean, I believe in the idea of applying – it's not even so much the model, right? It's if you apply the same method to every single problem over the course of many years and you adjust that method to make it more accurate, it works. And it always works. And even dumb stuff like horoscopes and, you know, Chinese zodiac and that kind of stuff, because you apply it in the same way to the same problems, it starts to work. It's weird. But that's how systems and algorithms and analysis has like a magic effect almost.
So here's another way I want to go through this. Is we said win-loss, right?
Let's go back through. I know I'm 9-3 because I did this
earlier. I'm 10-2.
So normally I'm a pessimist. I thought I was the red goggles guy.
I don't know what happened to you over that 30 seconds.
My formula says 9-3, so that's what I predicted.
Okay, so here's what I'd like to do one more time, is go through, and if you're willing to share your likelihood, like the win percentage likelihood, ready?
Here, let me pull it up.
If you don't have it open, otherwise, the other way I'd see this is to go through and say which games are a coin flip and which ones are Utes are going to win.
No, I like this game. And can I suggest a slightly different method? Because sure. I think this really helps people understand probability. Let's go put these teams into buckets. We're going to say they're going to win all of, most of, and we'll pick a number as we go. So you say they're going to win all of these three. They're going to win three of these four. They're going to win two of these three, and then one of these. So does that make sense? You're going to pick a bucket of games and say how many of those games they're going to win. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So that really puts the idea of probability front and center. The idea being that you don't know if Utah's going to win against Washington or lose to USC, but you can feel confident they're going to win one or the other of those games. And so that lets you really think of probabilities in a way that centers the mind on the question, because our brains are really bad.
So you want me to group the games, and then you're going to tell us how many of them they're going to win?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think that's a
fun non-conference schedule. Let's just do that one.
Three. They're going to win all three of those. Yeah. And I don't think any of them are close.
I agree. Okay. Let's do...
Give me another bucket.
The next bucket, we'll go by three. Washington, Washington State, Stanford.
I think they're going to win 1.5 of those. I think that they'll win. I'm going to suck in Arizona. I think they're going to win two of the next four of their first four conference games.
Okay, so you changed it to 4 on.
Yeah, but probably. That's what you have to do to make this work. You have to.
I like the 1.5 personally.
All right, we'll go 1.5. All right, 1.5 for Washington State Stanford.
It's okay. Let's go to 4.
All right.
USC, UCLA, Arizona State, Oregon. Heck, throw Colorado.
All right, of those last 5, I think they're going to win 4. I think.
So you've got them losing 2? Or 3? No, 3. No,
2 of the two first, out of the first 2 4, of the first 4 and 1 and of the last 5. That's how I get to 9-3. Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
So the other way I might do this, the other way I might bucket them together is they're going to win all of Weber State, NIU, Washington State, BYU. I'm really confident about all of those.
Yep.
They're going to win all but one of Arizona, UCLA, Arizona State, and Colorado. And then they're going to win one of Washington, Stanford, and Oregon, and then USC's a coin flip. I think that's how I'd put it.
I was really hoping you'd put USC in that, and I could say at least we can go after all of the Pac-12 South winners and still get to the Pac-12 title game.
Yeah, well, and I think you could, but that's right around where it is. I think the obvious inflection points of the season are Washington and USC.
Yep.
Washington in particular, because you're going to learn so much about the team. You're not going to learn much.
Yeah, we're not going to learn anything against Weber State.
No.
And Northern Illinois,
Northern
really.
Illinois, you'll learn something. But an interesting thing about we'll talk about this more next week. The interesting thing about FCS games is the standard deviations and the scores are huge. The swings are so wild that from a statistical perspective, you really can't draw much of any conclusions from one FCS data point, because sometimes a really good team will play an FCS team close, and sometimes a really good team will wallop an FCS team, and sometimes that terrible team will wallop an FCS team, because it's matchups and it's vibes and it's this whole complicated thing. And it's the things that work for an FCS team on offense all year will work really well against some FBS teams and really not work against others. You know, Weber State goes up against UCLA, which struggles to tackle. I bet they score a ton of points, but Utah, probably not as much. I don't see that as being a close game, but you don't learn much if it isn't. Right. I predict 45-7 and it's actually 42-27, it doesn't really tell you, oh, they're 20 points worse than we thought. It just says, meh, kind of throw that one out and see what happens the next 3-4 games. But Washington and NIU, to a lesser extent, are going to be learning experiences, and I'm really looking forward to them. Weber's just going to be fun to kind of see all the guys out there and cracking heads.
Yeah. No, and I mean, look, it's going to be – I mean, ultimately, that's the ultimate part, right? If I could say ultimate enough,
yes.
Is that football season starts next week.
Less than a week away, everybody.
Next Thursday, teeing off. I'll be watching on my sling.
I'll be staring down through the glass.
So far away.
It is, but it's also pretty cool.
No, I'm sure it's pretty cool. But either way – if you haven't yet, please go review our show. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, all of the jazz, all of it, wherever you're listening, please go review us. If it's not 5 stars, email us at utalk@gmail.com and let us know what we could do to get to 5 stars, and we'll do our best. Otherwise, go Utes.
Go Utes.
Thanks for listening to UTalk, brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Find us on Twitter @UTalkPodcast or email @UTalk@gmail.com.